Welcome to the Music of America podcast, where every week we visit a different state in America and meet a different guest in the music industry. Every day, Monday through Friday, we begin in Alabama and we end in Wyoming. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. Let's talk music here on the Music of America. The Music of America podcast continues. We're in Shirts, Texas, and we're going to meet with A. Wright from Anthony Wright Music after we talk about Hotel Universe. And let me introduce you to Trevor and Eileen Build. Okay, they own and run Ordinary to Extraordinary Life. They've created, produced, and managed the largest all-original indie music Roku channel, Hotel Music Video. So it's like hotel without the H. They love to give back to help others be seen and heard for their life legacy. They welcome new submissions from a variety of genres. So visit their website. It's www.hoteluniverse.com. Click on the What is Roku tab. Go to the drop down. Click on the Roku channels. Complete and submit videos there. Roku's seen in like 160 countries, has a viewership of over 80 million active accounts worldwide, yours truly included. So be sure to add their channel to your Roku menu. Again, it's hoteluniverse.com. Watch and give them a 5-star. Our guest, A. Wright from Anthony Wright Music. We're just going to call you A. Wright to the show. That's good. Okay.
That sounds good.
That's how people know you anyway on stage, right?
For the most part, it's been a work in progress trying to get that name out there a bit more. There's still some people that bill me as Anthony Wright, some that do A. Wright. So it's a work in progress.
Always. So how long have you been playing music professionally?
In terms of doing, like, you know, playing out with a band or playing solo, I've been doing that for about 11 years. I mean, I got started playing music when I was 5. I was taking classical lessons for a while. Wow. And then I decided sometime in high school that I was going to start playing music professionally. And from there, it kind of took off. So been doing it since June of 2013 and still rolling.
No kidding. That's awesome, man. Do you just play in Texas or do you play all over the South or do you play all over the country? Where have you traveled to?
I do plan on eventually getting out of Texas to play stuff. But right now I'm still kind of situated in Texas. I do a lot of stuff from San Antonio up to Austin in particular. I do some stuff in the Texas Hill Country as well. I have been out of the state to do some stuff before. I did when I was doing more blues, I partook in the IBC, the International Blues Challenge out in Memphis. I did that twice. And that was a good time. But most of my performances they're in Texas for the most part. But I plan on eventually venturing out at some point.
Do you like blues better than country? You like country better than blues?
They're both different. They're both different. I mean, they're rooted in sort of a similar thing. I mean, country did come from blues, but for the most part, I like them both. They're just slightly different take.
Yeah, they are. They're different, but they're the same. And that's one of the things I love about Chris Stapleton. He brought the blues back to country to me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's definitely kind of a blues and R&B soul kind of a thing in his music, which is refreshing. When a lot of that stuff was coming out, when he was first doing his things, so Traveler and Tennessee Whiskey and You Should Probably Leave, like songs like that. I was like, okay, like it's got this thing in it where it's kind of like a soul R&B element that I like. And it was different. It was distinct.
Yeah, it made it stand out. Made me like listening to country music again. I was in country radio for the longest time, you know, just the direction it's gone now and just pop music, any kind of music anymore. I prefer listening to fresh stuff like what you send me and my guests here on the podcast send me. And I just don't really listen to the radio anymore. It's a sad state of affairs or maybe a sad state about me personally. I don't know.
It's a take. I mean, like for me, I've got Sirius XM in my car, but I rarely ever use it. I mean, I'm usually dialed into my phone, which probably should make me question if I should keep Sirius XM, even though I like it.
Yeah. Well, they have some really cool channels if you're in a certain mood. You know, like they've got a great Rolling Stones channel. You got a great Clapton channel, a great blues channel. If you're just feeling something, feeling a specific artist or a certain genre, it's great for that, I think. You know.
Yeah. No, it is.
So in high school, did you start in a rock band? Did you start in a blues band? How was that? What was the evolution of your music?
Well, in terms of playing like live, so I was, well, like I said, I did classical guitar and I was doing little concerts here and there. But like when it came to When it came to electric, so my first band was a, or the first band that I was a part of was a Beatles cover band, so to speak, that also played some of their own original stuff. It was called the Weedles, and it was a first band. And that's where I got started there. And then I had a brief stint, and I mean brief, where we only played like one show, and that was about it, where there was a bunch of guys that lived right around the corner from where I was. We got together and did a thing up in we did a show at this Catholic school in San Antonio, and that was about it. And then I decided, and that was like 2011 when that happened. The other one was like 2010 with that Beatles band. But and then, like I said, around 2013, I decided, I think I'm going to give this a whack, but I'm going to see about heading it. I'm going to see about being in charge of it. And I just kind of took off from there. I just went ahead and found some players, and we started doing a lot of blues stuff. I mean, when I started, we were doing a lot of blues covers and this and that. The shift to country kind of came a lot later. Like literally within this last year or two, it's been just kind of doing something a little different as well. But it's interesting because going that way, I've actually kind of found other ways to get in touch with blues in a way, like in a really cool way. So it's kind of still gone for a full circle in a couple of ways for me by doing that.
When you kick back, it's a Sunday afternoon, you're out fishing or taking a walk or whatever, you're driving and listening to Sirius FM. What do you usually listen to? When are you said you listen to your streaming. So is there an artist that you listen to, or is there a genre that you, or do you vacillate back and forth or what?
Well, like you mentioned with the Sirius channels, I'm kind of the same way, which is I'm all dependent on mood. It all depends on how I'm what I'm feeling. I mean, a lot of times, I've even tapped back into my younger self, and like I've gone back and listened to some harder rock and metal again. So there's some days I feel that way. Some days I feel I want to listen to some country. Some days I want to listen to blues. I want to listen to rock. Just it all depends.
Are your parents musical at all? You're right.
My dad strums a little bit, but like in terms of like serious, like getting out there and playing, no.
It's interesting how the perspective of the different types, like somebody that's been playing since they were five, you find out that, you know, mom was playing piano and dad was a music teacher or something. But in this case, it was just your dad, you're five. I want you to play because I want to, maybe that, you know, maybe it's one of those things where he's living vicariously through you because he only got so far, but he never had the training. So if he gave it to you sooner, then you'd be able to maybe be a more accomplished player. Is that
Possibly. I mean, well, I mean, sort of. I mean, it was interesting. Like, it was just really what it was for me is so like before they set me up with lessons, I remember my dad pulled a guitar out from under the bed, and I was fascinated by it. So I think for me, it was I didn't know it at the time, but it was like a fascination and interest mainly from my end. And there was eventually a point where for me, everything kind of clicked. It's like, yeah, I'm actually pretty good at this. Like, I think I might be able to do something with this. So it was kind of more of that, I would say, probably.
Yeah, my 3-year-old grandson was over at Easter, and I've got four acoustics out in the living room. So his father and I were playing. He was playing my Epiphone, and I was playing my Alvarez Yari 12-string, you know. And then Seamus came over and he said, "I want to do it. I want to do it." So I grabbed my pick and started bang, bang, bang. So I had to change finger positions and try and find him, find a pattern with the rhythm. And he was playing and really wasn't playing a pattern. So then we got him going 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. And then John had him working on, you know, volume and stuff. Don't hit it real hard, hit it soft, hit each string, hit all of them, you know. So for three, it was kind of neat. It was like maybe his first real lesson. And, you know, if he's anything like his father, I could drop a sousaphone in front of John and he'll know how to play it within 10 minutes, you know. So, but guitar is your instrument still, right? Do you dabble in other instruments?
I do play some bass. I do I mean I could keep a beat on drums. Obviously I do sing as well. I do so ever since COVID hit, I where when it first hit, I played started learning harmonica, and I actually got pretty decent at it. But the funny thing with that is that was one of those things where it's like if you were going to do it, you might as well really invest in it. And because cheap harmonicas, like the $50 set, they're terrible. Like, whereas, and the best way to explain it is you got to work harder with those cheaper ones, whereas the more expensive ones are very effortless. Like, you can blow and draw. That's the proper term. You can blow and draw with a lot less resistance than you can with cheap harmonicas. So it was like one of those things where I found a set of really nice ones, and it's like, well, once I push this button, there's no going back. And so, you know, so it's like, I might as well spend all this money and learn how to do this, because it's so expensive.
Funny. I bought years ago from a musician friend. They had the kit, you know, and it came with a carrying case, and you had a harp from every major key or every key, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like $50. And then I turned around and bought a C harmonica for $49. And the C harmonica was easier to play than all the other ones. And I still don't blow. I don't blow very well, but it's still, that's the harp I'll go to when I want to mess around with harmonica. Cause the other ones I end up giving them away. Cause they're just, like you said, they're just too hard to learn on, man. If you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, and it's kind of like the same thing with, and the thing is, like, they don't tell you that. It's kind of like when you first learn guitar, a lot of these guys quit because, you know, like, say if they get an acoustic guitar, like a steel string, and it's like, it's like, oh my God, it's too hard to play and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, you know, you can get new strings that are lighter, or a lot of people. And I suppose this is where it helped for me, is because I went classical. I think my parents, when they put me in classical, they knew about the whole nylon string thing, and they figured out that it was easier on the fingers, and that probably helped a bunch too. I mean, there's always certain factors that, but the problem is they don't tell you, like, well, you don't have to do it this way, you can do this instead, and that way it's a little easier to kind of get you rolling.
My very first guitar was sold to me by a friend of mine, friend in quotes. Oh, he was a friend, but yeah, what kind of friend would do this? We played at a open mic at some dessert place when I was like 14, 15 years old in St. Louis. His name was Charlie. Spoiler, he's since passed away. And thanks, Charlie. And he played a Lyle 12 string, and he sold it to me for like $50. This was back in 1973. So I thought, and I love the sound of a 12 string, but the neck was so bowed that, you know, I had a quarter inch give at the neck up by the nut, you know, and it got worse as you went on down the neck. So it was my first guitar that I owned, but it was the toughest guitar ever to play.
But it was probably great for slide.
Yeah. I, you know, never even attempted that, because I was just trying to learn, you know, basic scales and basic chords. And my finger at one time looked like a foot, you know?
Yeah. Well, because I'm assuming you mean like the action would go up higher, like the lower you go. Yeah. So that's what I was saying. It was probably great for slide, because, trying to fret on that.
Right. Now, you write your own music. You do some covers, depending on the venue, right?
Yeah. I mean, I still do covers in my sets, but I do write my own music. I'm trying to make it a goal to start doing a lot more original than covers. And we're getting to the point where if I'm doing like a 2-hour show somewhere, or like, for example, and I know by the time this comes out, this gig will have passed, but I'll be doing a gig at Sam's Burger Joint, I think in San Antonio on the 17th of April. That's like an hour and a half show. And I'll be able to get through that. Maybe I'll do a cover or two, but that show I should be able to cover pretty much all of it with my own material. So it's getting to that point where, like, the shorter shows, like an hour and a half, 2 hours, I can carry most of it with my own material. But I do want to get to a point where if we're doing like 3 or 4 hour shows, you know, it's mainly my own stuff.
Do you have an A-Right band? Is there a band that plays with you, or you just do your own thing by yourself?
No, I have a band. I do. I've played solo. I've done duo. I've done full band shows. It just depends on what the venue's looking for.
You want to give a shout out to your bandmates?
Yeah. I got my bass player, Robbie Van Rijn, out of Helotus. And then Pete Sengler, who's my drummer, out of Seguin. And then sometimes last couple of times I've brought my buddy, Will Patterson, who's based out of San Marcos. He's played keys a couple times for me.
Oh, that'd be good. I could hear that. That would be a really good, rich sound for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I'm still looking, because I figure I'm swinging more of that country direction. I'm trying to see about getting some fiddle and pedal steel eventually involved. The other fun part is obviously budgets. So,
right.
You know, because, I mean, this stuff, it's not for free, you know.
Right. When you have these guys, but the venues you play, when you're, I don't know about Texas, but I know like in Missouri, you might have a show where there's 4 or 5 guests and you split the pot. You know, you might walk away making $30 one night, you know?
Yeah.
And then if you have a band, you got to split that up with the band, you know? Here's $3 a 10 piece, you know?
Right. Well, it depends on the type of it depends on the event, but it can be like that.
That's when you rely on friends, family, and tips, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, and merch. And we'll talk about the merch thing at the toward the end of the show. But right now, yeah. I want to talk about the first song of yours we're going to be talking about today. It's a song called Daphne Blue.
Yeah.
So who or what is Daphne Blue?
So Daphne Blue is a song that it ended up being about a car for the most part. Well, it's about a car. Mm-hmm. And what had happened was I had the music. There's a distinctive riff in it. I've had that sitting around for a while. And I actually had another song that I wrote lyrics for it. And I just thought about it and I'm like, eh, it's not really catching. I sat there. I'm like, this, the music, the riff in this, it's too good for it to just sit by the wayside and do nothing. And so I was sitting down one day and I was thinking, I'm like, what do I do? And I think this was like right after Christmas back in 2021. And I'm like, what do I do with this? And I think my dad was outside working on the pool and he was listening to a Steve Earle album. I think it was his Live in 86 album or something.
Yeah.
And Sweet Little 66 came on, which is about a car. And I'm like, well, what if I make the song about a car? And then I literally sat there and the first couple lines came right out, which is, was it, she got a big old body, nice big frame, couple hundred horses to her name. And then it just all kind of in about 20, 25, maybe 30 minutes, like all the words kind of came out. And I did a little bit of woodshedding on like how the song exactly was going to go. But right after that, it kind of all came into place. And
almost
it's like,
writes
oh, okay.
itself, right?
Yeah, at that point it wrote itself and I'm like, yeah. All right, finally. And we've been playing that song like ever since. Like I've played it at solo shows, open mics with the band. I mean, we've really played the hell out of it. We actually, so me and my parents filmed a video. It's very homemade.
Yeah.
But I at least learned how to drop the frame rate on the camera so it looks somewhat like a music video, Yeah, we made a music video for Daphne Blue and put it out, and you get to see a bunch of things, some nice classic cars and some band performances and a nice shot of my legs because we took some footage at the beach and I have some beach apparel on it. But
maybe you get in touch with my sponsor here, Hotel Universe, you know, have them take your video and put it up on their Roku channel.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens with it, but and that was fun to do. I mean, it was a little different. I mean, but that was a fun experience doing that video. But that song, I really like that one. Cool. I really do.
Well, we're going to start it off your music selection, I guess, with the oldest of the three we're going to listen to. Our guest, A. Wright, Anthony Wright Music from Shirts, Texas, and the first song called Daphne Blue here on the Music of America podcast.
She got a big old body, nice big frame, couple hundred horses to her name, runs every time, tried and true. My old Daphne Blue.
Thank you.
time to go. And they're gonna put me under, down below. Save you. I'll take my downy blue with me. Oh yeah. I'll take my downy blue with me. Downy blue. Oh yeah.
Daphne Blue, A-Right, here on the Music of America podcast. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. We had an issue with A-Right's cat. Well, I'm not a big fan of cats. If you listen to this podcast enough, you'll know that I don't really care for cats. I had cats. I don't like cats now, though. Maybe I would be able to like them again. Kitty's Litter Box. A new innovation in the litter box takes away that which I used to dislike about cats, and that's mainly the litter box, the hassle of cleaning that litter box, everything about it. Well, Kitty's Litter Box is a completely biodegradable litter system that eliminates that hassle, okay? The changing the litter, just the nastiness, you know? You simply open the box, introduce the box to your cat, and after about 30 days or so, then you discard the box. You just throw the whole thing away. None of that extra cleaning of the litter box. Kitty's Litter Box makes the ease of cleaning the litter box easier by eliminating the need to clean it. You just throw it away. It's biodegradable. You just toss the whole thing away, close it, throw it away, you're done. So if you like cats, you'll love your cat even more with Kitty's Litter Box. Kitty's Litter Box, all lowercase, www.kittyslitterbox.com. It's perfect, as they say. And A-Right had a little visit with his cat earlier today. Like when we were setting up the podcast, the cat kept walking back and forth and back and forth in front of the camera. But thank goodness it's audio only, or we'd be looking at cat stripes all day.
Yeah.
Do you travel with your cat?
No. He's very much a homebody.
Okay. I've had a couple of guests that travel with their pets. I was curious. And
yeah, we do have now I do have a dog. We have a little Chihuahua, and she does come with us. So like we'll be taking the trip in about a month. So somewhere in mid-May, we're going to be going down to the beach. She'll be coming with us.
Okay.
That dog, I'll say this. So I have a sister that lives in Washington. My younger sister goes to visit her. She's probably been up there about four or five times. And every time she goes up, she brings that dog. That dog has been to Washington more than I have. Well, and so is my sister. But that dog has been out there more than I have. I only went out there once so far, but. Yeah, I mean, that dog gets around, but no, the cat stays, he stays here.
Now, you said we, so you mean, when you say we, you mean you and your significant other, or we meaning you and the band, or what?
No. So when I was talking about we travel around, I live with my family, so
okay.
You know, my parents and my sister and whatnot.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Do they go to a lot of your shows, your family?
Yeah, they do from time to time. Sometimes my dad will come with me to some shows to help me out with some equipment or whatnot. If it's a show where we need to bring PA equipment and all that.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Yeah. That's cool to have that support too. And sometimes it even if it's just family, at least you're not playing to an empty room. I don't know if you ever had to do that. Had to, you know, I was in a cover band for a couple of years and we had to play at a Hot Shots 1 year right after a Cardinal baseball game and the Cardinals got blown out. So people were leaving the game early. So the idea was to have a band there so that after the game, they'd get drawn over by the music, they'd stick around, they'd have another beer or two. And since everybody was already gone, we had a four-hour show. And we started, and we may have had four people at the beginning of the set. By the time the fourth hour rolled around, there was nobody there. And there's not a harder feeling in the world than trying to play to a room full of nobody.
Oh, yeah. You know? Nah. And I've done it. I've done it. Well, I was close. There was one gig I did where I had to play 4 hours, and this was back when I used to do monster sets. I take, you know, like little 15-minute breaks now. Like, but we used to do stuff where if it was a 4-hour show, we would do like 2 hours straight, take a 30-minute break, and then an hour and a half, and we were done. Which was, I don't know how I used to do it. Like, I put these little breaks in now, and it's great. But anyway. I did a show once and there was nobody for like 3 hours and 45 minutes.
Oh my
gosh. And then 15 minutes before the show was over, all of a sudden people came in. We had like two or three songs and they're dancing. We finished our last song and they look at us one more. And it's like, you know, like you, and I, we did it, but it's like, you know, it's like,
They don't understand, you know?
No. And that's the thing, is it's looking at it from both sides. So that's why it's like the best thing to do is like just give them what they're looking for, which is, you know, which is fine. We had something, the flip side of what you're talking about happen, which was I did a gig in Austin, and there's a venue on 6th Street. And a lot of these bars that are out there, they have they're themed. So like, meaning like there's certain teams they support. Well, there's this one place we play, and they're LSU fans.
And
it's an LSU bar or themed bar. And they were playing that night, and I can't remember who they were playing. And I'm not the biggest LSU fan, but I was looking at it. I'm like, wait. And I looked in the audience, and it was packed. And I'm like, and I looked at the guys. I'm like, they better win this game or we're going to be screwed. And luckily they did. And they did. And everybody stayed and hung out, had a good time and whatnot. But it was one of those things. It's like, yeah, they better win this game or this is going to be an interesting night.
That's the time when you pull out some New Orleans based songs, you know, like, Louisiana LaRue, what was that, New Orleans Ladies, or Marie Laveau by Bobby Bear, you know, just make them happy, you know, even if they lose the game, you're like, hey, wait, I got some Louisiana music for you, you know?
Yeah, or like Born on the Bayou or something.
Born on the Bayou, yeah, Louisiana Saturday Night, Mel McDaniel, it's a great, you know.
Yep, yeah.
Now, your next song is also the name of a very interesting movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jamie Lee Curtis and Tom Arnold, of all people. The song and the movie is called True Love. Don't tell me that one inspired the other.
No. No, I was for that song. I was driving home from a gig that was about 2.5 hours away, so I had plenty of time. And I remember I had my phone on shuffle for the music, so I was kind of getting whatever. And Blaze Foley had a song pop up that was called Ooh Love, and so it's like, all right, it sounds kind of close. But the theme of it, like, I was listening to that stuff and I was like, well, what if I write something kind of similar to it? And because I was listening to his song and it's like, I don't know, it just hit me just right. So I kind of started thinking about some stuff and I actively thought about while I was writing. It's like, okay, I got to make sure this is different from his song and this, which it is. But I sat there and it was one of those things. It's one of those songs where the message, the lyrics, they're very simple and they kind of just fell into place. And I didn't have to. Well, the thing is, and I kept chipping at it. Like I'd have times. So that one, I wrote the lyrics while I was driving home. Dictation for the iPhone is one of the best things ever. So like the notes app, it's awesome. Cause I can do that while I'm driving. Cause I used to have to record things in or God forbid write words down. But once I figured out, hey, I could just dictate my words into this notes app.
Yeah.
It's helped. And actually it's been efficient for songgwriting too. So,
but I'm amazed at how many people use that app now from doing this podcast. And so many people say, I just grab my phone. I'll wake up in the middle of the night with something. I'll just grab my phone. I keep hearing it over and over again. Like, how do you organize them? If you're waking up in the middle of the night, you know, do you just say, this cut is, whatever, like you're doing music, riff in A minor or something like that, right?
Yeah. No, I'm bad about that. I need to. I'm bad about labeling my recordings. I need to go in and do that because there's a bunch of them that'll be back catalog. I'm gonna go back in there. I'm gonna find something that's really good. Oh, when did I record this? Oh, 2 years ago. That's nice.
Yeah, funny.
yeah. But
so how old is True Love? That's kind of recent. That's when you said you play a lot, right?
Yeah, that one, I do play that one, particularly on solo gigs, but I've actually taught the band that one. That one, I wrote that one last year. I would say probably around the middle of last year. Or no, actually probably October or something. I don't know, but it was last year at some point. And I remember, like, as soon as I wrote it, like, literally a month or two later, I went into the studio to cut it. Because I've got a guy I'm working with here in Texas, Roger Ramsey, who's a radio promoter. And we decided on that song because I sent him a demo. We decided on that one. So I remember in November, I went to the studio and we did two songs. I cut a Christmas song and that one. Oh, that was the other funny thing. We were going to do True Love first as the first release. But he's like, well, since Christmas time's coming around the corner, we may want to hold back on it. But do you happen to have a Christmas song? And I had one I had one I wrote, but it was like 6 minutes, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not gonna cut this thing down. And I literally just sat down, I was noodling, and I came up with the music to this, and then all of a sudden I started thinking about it, and I'm like, I guess this is kind of Christmassy. And then lo and behold, I ended up writing two Christmas songs, one of which we recorded, and that's what ended up I ended up doing that one and True Love in the recording session.
What
So
was the Christmas song called?
Tis the Season.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And what's really kind of cool about that song, what I think is distinctive, is there's two time signatures in it, which it's hard to explain to those who don't understand what that means, but basically there's two different feels. So like the verses are all in a certain timing, and then when it gets to the chorus, it switches to a typical 4-4 type thing. But all the verses are in 3-4, which I thought was kind of cool because it's like, well, there's not too many Christmas songs that have an alternation in time signature. And it's really funny too, because my bass player Robbie, he's like, well, I'm a 3-4 and a 4-4 guy when we play, so it's a little hard for me to get a grasp of some of this other stuff. And I told him when we played it, I'm like, well, guess what? You're gonna get both in the same song. So there you go.
Funny. But the
Yeah.
non-Christmas song is one we're going to listen to now. It's
Yeah.
Anthony Wright Music. A. Wright, our guest here today on the Music of America podcast, and his second song we're going to hear, True Love.
Such a simple thing, an easy game to play, but such a hard one to win. You could spend a lifetime looking for the one you're in search of. Have an open mind, clear sight line, you just might find true love. True love. Though the times may change and the colors fade to gray, if the feeling remains the same, that is true love.
Anthony Wright Music, A. Wright, our guest here today on the Music of America podcast from Shirts, Texas, and his song, True Love. We've got one more song coming up we're going to talk about. Off mic, we were talking a little bit about amplifiers, so I'm going to talk a little bit about this one here. We've all done this, right? You find that perfect tone you're looking for, and then the club owner walks over and says, you know what, you're too loud, and now you have to change that which you spent all day setting up for, trying to achieve that tone, you know, where you've got the tone you want, you're always in the sweet spot. Well, introducing the Lexi from Landry Amps. The Lexi is a 100-watt amp that has at its core a vintage Plexi circuit. The Lexi has a rhythm crunch channel, a boosted lead channel, it has digital reverb, two buffered effects loop, depth control, and awesome voice switch. It has considerably more gain than a Plexi does at volumes that range from a whisper all the way to concert volume levels, but it's designed to be played at those lower levels. These two channels each have their own gain and master volume control, but they share the EQ. Check it out. Landry Amps, www.landryamps.com. Bill Landry's got a YouTube channel as well, where you can go and he'll actually walk you through every single amp and say, here's what this one does. Here's what this one does. Here's the LS100 G3. Here's the Lexi, so on and so forth. And you can hear him play through each one. You can hear him explain the difference between the amps. You can do the same thing on LandryAmps.com as well. But if you're looking for an amp, treat yourself. www.LandryAmps.com. Hey, right. We were talking a little bit about the amps. That's way above my pay grade, but it makes me wonder, since you know about this stuff, I'm curious what you play through. What's your rig consist of?
Well, in terms of my rig, if I do an electric gig, honestly, a lot of my gigs I haven't gone any higher really than a deluxe reverb, which is like, you know, 20 watt Fender amp. Yeah. Sometimes the rare occasion, if I've got a venue where, so like, for example, I've played Luckenbach. If I got a venue where it's real wide open, like Luckenbach's Maid stages, then maybe I'll bring out, I got a couple of basement, you know, old basements, which are 50 watts. And yeah, I can bring those out so I can push a little bit of air. But more often than not, I use like a Blues Junior and a deluxe reverb mostly for a lot of my gigs. So I'm weird. I like the old tones, but I'm not a big fan of the volume. So like for me, I'm a big proponent of using master volumes or attenuation to keep volume down. So like you were saying in the ad, to get your sweet spot, but without all the extra volume, pretty much.
Right.
Yeah. Cause for me, I like my hearing. I like being able, I want to hold on to it as much as possible. So
now, you know, the joke, of course, would be for me to say, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
I actually just had my hearing checked after playing music and being in radio and being around music as much as I have. I'm 68 years old, and I knew I had some hearing loss, but I have mild to moderate hearing loss, so I'm going to start getting hearing aids now. Yeah. So I'm at that age where I get to wear hearing aids, which is, I guess, it's okay, because I don't have to keep saying, I'm sorry, what? What? What'd you say?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Which usually my response to that joke usually is always exactly.
Yeah, my favorite hearing aid joke, this guy's out playing golf with his buddies and he says, I got tired of you guys yelling at me all the time about getting a hearing aid, so I went out and got the best money could buy. And one guy says, what kind is it? He looks at his wrist and goes, about quarter after 12. Boom, boom, try the salad bar, I'll be here all week, you know. Now, you've got a new song out that we're going to talk
about.
And just the title alone has it drew up the same vision of Curtis Lowe, this vision I have of Curtis Lowe by Skynyrd. And the song is called Old Cletus. Is that, am I on target there?
So Old Cletus, that one's funny. I was on the way to work. It was a drive time commute. I was going to, I think, San Marcos, and which is about a 30-minute drive for me. And there was some traffic, and I got bored in traffic, and I was thinking to myself, I don't know why, what it really was there's an artist, I don't know if you're familiar with Ray Wiley Hubbard at all, but sometimes there's an exercise that I've done where it's like, you know, if I were to write a song for somebody, what would I do? Like, and with Ray, it was like, if I were to write a song for Ray Wiley Hubbard, what would I write? And so I, this kind of came out, and it was interesting. And yeah, this one, like lyrically, again, this one was probably took me about 25, 30 minutes, but because the hardest part about it was getting, I'm not going to spoil it, but the second line, I'm going to say this, the opening line is old Cletus lives on a hickory stump. And then there's a second line, and I'm found a way to make something rhyme with stump, but it's, I'll say this, it's thrown a lot of people for a loop whenever they listen to it. And okay. Then like whenever they hear the line, usually people laugh at it or whatnot. But the other thing too, is it makes context within the song. Cause it's about a homeless man living in the woods, particularly Louisiana for whatever reason. But yeah, I mean, it's just kind of this thing, and it's kind of like this, yeah, it's kind of the swampy-ish kind of country thing or whatnot. I actually laid down a resonator guitar on it.
Did you?
Which that was a, I ordered this thing specific. I ordered this resonator for the sessions for that song, and it literally finally showed up to my door like the day before the sessions. Like I had the hardest time trying to get that guitar. But I finally got it.
Yeah.
And yeah, not to mention they left it. It was like January too. They left it sitting outside in the cold. Didn't even ring the doorbell or knock on the door. So it's cool. Yeah. Well, no, our doorbell's kind of broken anyway. So that's probably what they did. But anyway, but yeah, no, it's kind of the swampy kind of country thing. And that was another one with my bass player, Robbie, where there's a measure that's a little odd in there. So there's a 3/4 measure and all the 4/4. Uh-huh. So that would trip the band up for a little while, but we finally got it a bit better.
Well, I want to hear what rhymes with
I'll go ahead and I'll spoil it for the audience. The first two lines are old Cletus lives on a hickory stump, digs a hole when he has to dump. The funny thing is, there's a radio station that I sent that to, and they're like, you know, we like the song, but we don't really like your usage of the word dump. And I sat there and I'm like, okay, first of all, like, have you heard some of the words that are used in some of these songs today? Like, particularly, you know, in a lot of hip hop, there's a lot of verbiage, I'm going to put it that way. And it's like, this is tame compared to that. Second of all, it's like, find me another word that rhymes with stump that deals with the context of the song. Like, that makes sense within the song, you know? Find me another word, you know?
I would just tell him, you know what? It's metaphorical, you know? It's a metaphor. He's looking for a hole where he can dump. Like his bad day, his emotions. He's looking for, yeah, or not.
Yeah. Well, there are some things where they can see right through, and that might be one of them. But like I said, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's still a good song. Old Cletus is the song where they write here on the Music of America podcast.
Old Cletus lives on a hickory stump, digs a hole when he has to dump. He uses the water in which he bathes. He got a mile-long beard that he never shaves. He don't need society. Says they've long forgotten me. Rabbits, bugs, and frogs. Cooks them over that they log. Only got one thing to his name. Praised or copy of King James. Old Cletus lives on a hickory stump. Digs a hole when he has to dump. Uses the water in which he bathes. Got a mile-long beard that he never shaves. Uh-huh. sip or two from his mason jar. Heads to bed to get a jump on the girl. See the eye of God in the rising sun. It ain't much, but it's home to him. Sees the light in things that others see red. Never has to worry about a knock from the man. Cause after all, he's got the cheapest plot in Louisiana. All Cleus lives on a hickory stump. Digs a hole and he has to dump. Uses the water which he pays. Got a mile long beard that he never shaves. Old Cleus is an oddball, you could say.
Oh, Cleus, our guest today, A. Wright, Anthony Wright music from the, I guess, the center, south central part of the state. Is that where Schertz is?
Yeah, Schertz is about south central Texas. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I already asked a question. I usually don't like to do this. I usually just like to launch right into the segment of the show. It's called Shameless Self-Promotion. So this is the segment of the show. We talk about what's coming up, where we can find you, where we can find your music, where we can support you by buying your merch, your records, or come see you at a benefit or at a festival or a concert or show. Anything going on in May, this summer, this fall, Christmas pageant, whatever. Have at it, A. Wright, and tell us how we can help you.
Yeah, sounds good. So you can check out my stuff at awrightmusic.com. That's my website. You can also check out and give me a like on Facebook at A. Wright. You can follow me on Instagram at A. Wright Music. You can also subscribe to my YouTube channel at A. Wright as well. I'm going to be planning on doing a lot more videos and some stuff in the near future, so stay tuned for that. In terms of any merch or whatnot, you can you can get my CDs at my shows, or you can actually buy them through my website. I can send them, or you can get my music digitally through my website. Apple Music, Spotify, SoundCloud, all that under A. Wright. I've been making a big effort to not say iTunes because I know that's changed. It's hard, but I've been working on it. In terms of shows, in May, I believe it's May 25th, we're going to be doing a show 6 to 8 o'clock at the Southern Smoke and Sip Barbecue Festival. I believe that's the name, but it's a barbecue festival in Helotes. Okay. And that'll be May 25th from 6 to 8. That's the biggie. Otherwise, you can just catch me around in San Antonio, Austin, Texas Hill Country, so Fredericksburg, Bernie, all that stuff. You can catch me around. I'll be there.
I wanted to show you this. They can't see this on video or audio because it's not, you know, it's audio only. But these are CDs that I get from guests when I go to see them perform or whatever. I still buy CDs, even though the only CD player I have is in my car. You know.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I like to have it's a great piece of merchandise to sell, to have at the end of the day. You got a picture or something on there that's reminiscent of that you can associate with the show. And I got a CD. So, you know, digital, you buy digital and then you put it on your player, I guess. I don't know. It gets too complicated for me.
Well, I mean, it's nice to have, so you don't have to, because I've done that. I remember when I was about 7-8 years old on long car rides, and you have like 10 CDs in a little CD holder, and all you're doing is just popping in the CD just to skip to certain tracks anyway. So it's convenient, but I do still like CDs. I do still think that they're a viable format. It just, you know, I was telling some people, you know, makes no sense to me how CDs aren't quite in vogue, but yet nobody's got a CD player, but everybody's got a record player. They call it trendy. I call it ass backwards, but hey, you know, I mean,
but if you have a digital player, then you'll be able to hear Daphne Blue, True Love, and Old Cletus, all songs that you heard here today, right?
Yep. You'll be able to hear it with total clarity and no record scratches.
There you go. Hey, Wright, thank you so much for being a guest here, and a good fortune. Good luck and stay in touch. And who knows, might see you on the Opry or see you at Austin City Limits in another season or two, right?
That'd be great. But no, thank you so much for having me.
Great, man. That's great. A. Wright, Anthony Wright Music, our guest here on the Music of America podcast. Up next, we wrap up the state of Texas with a trip to a border town. We're going to meet Dan Wesley White right here on the Music of America podcast. You've been listening to the Music of America podcast. If you like today's show, please go to the website at www.musicofamericapod.com or our Music of America podcast Facebook page. Like us and follow the show and episodes. We tally the votes of all our shows, and the most listened to shows will be rebroadcast on our best of shows at the end of the season. I look forward to having you with us again and listening to the Music of America.